Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. On August 4th, 2015, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints released photographs of the seer stone that Joseph Smith allegedly translated the Book of Mormon with. He would take this seer stone, put it in a hat, draw the hat closely to his face to exclude the light, and in the darkness, according to David Whitmer, a spiritual light would shine, something resembling parchment would appear, and on it appeared the writing. Joseph Smith would read the characters off of the stone to a scribe, the scribe would read it back, and if correct, it would go on to the next set of characters. This is one reason why many Latter-day Saints believe that the Book of Mormon was translated by the gift and power of God. The story of the seer stone and the hat, however, is not a story that a lot of Latter-day Saints are very familiar with. And certainly when the church released those photographs on August 4th, a lot of people were talking about how Mormons were reacting to these photographs. There were some that acted as if it did not surprise them at all. And there were other Latter-day Saints that were totally shocked. And this has caused some to express their feelings on social media, on blog sites, Facebook, and such.
Now, some Mormons say that they already knew about this information. Others may not even admit to that. But it seems to me that no matter what you come out with, whether it is that Joseph Smith had 30 to 40 wives or that he used a peepstone for his translation, I'm not sure, Bill, is there anything that you could think of that would just totally blow people away? Because to me, these are pretty big events that the church is publicly disseminating for everybody to read. It's in the newspaper on the front page of the Salt Lake Tribune. I just don't know what it would take for some Mormons so entrenched in their faith to ever leave their faith.
I think you raise an excellent point, and sometimes I've wondered in talking to some Mormons that are so adamant about what they believe that it doesn't seem like anything would rock their boat. It doesn't matter what Joseph Smith did or what some leader in the church has said, they're still going to believe it anyway. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why a subjective faith of Mormonism is so dangerous, because once you've ingrained in your mind that this is a true prophet of God and nothing's going to change your mind about that, it doesn't seem to matter what kind of behavior he exudes, you're going to somehow excuse it. Now, as a Christian, I couldn't do that, because we understand as Christians that prophets were not allowed to do anything they wanted. They were certainly held responsible to following God's laws, God's commandments. And we do find in the Old Testament, when God's prophets did get out of line, they were often punished quite severely for that. Take the case of Moses himself, who merely for striking a rock is not allowed to go into Canaan. That's pretty serious.
This might be a case of protect Joseph Smith no matter what the cost.
And sadly, a lot of Mormons really, I think, do feel that way. However, there are a lot of Mormons out there who are hearing these kind of explanations of their history that are really scratching their heads wondering, what in the world did I get involved in? And why am I defending this? Well, this blog article written by a man by the name of Paul Barker, titled, I'm Sorry, Argentina. We read it to you yesterday, and if you want to hear it again, you can go to our archives and catch that. But he basically is apologizing for the things that he taught about Mormon history to those that he ministered to in Argentina while on his two-year mission. And he's expressing his remorse for teaching a Mormon history that now the church seems to be denying. Now, I can understand this remorse, and I've often said this, and I mean this very sincerely, folks, because when I hear, for instance, Christians upset when they talk to Mormon missionaries and they feel that the missionaries have lied to them, I always want to caution them by saying, look, I wouldn't go so far as to say the missionaries are lying. they're certainly telling you things that are not true. But to really tell a lie is to know in your heart that what you're saying is not true. And I don't think Paul Barker, and I don't think a lot of missionaries that go around door to door representing the LDS Church are purposely lying. I think they've been misinformed, and they're retelling that misinformation that they were given. I'm not saying that they are totally not responsible for that, because I think that when you do try to explain Mormon history and you're trying to make converts to this church, you should try to be as much as you possibly can in accord with the facts. Now, that, of course, is going to take some study that I don't think most young missionaries are prepared to do.
They don't have time to.
They don't have time, and most of them don't know where to look. They've trusted their leaders in the church, and so as Paul Barker is relating a story that the church gave him, I can understand that. He has faith in these leaders. Now, where I don't give a pass is the leadership. They know better.
Oh, yes.
They know better, and yet they allow this lie of Mormon history to be told over and over by the missionaries. I don't know how they explain that away or make sense out of that when they go to bed at night. It could very well be, well, we're trying to make good people better. That could be a reason they have no problem with it, but certainly I do see a problem in that. And so what we wanted to talk about today was, in light of what Paul Barker has written in this article, I'm Sorry Argentina, and it's on the Rational Faith's blog site, Keeping Mormonism Weird. That's the subtitle. What were some of the comments that were written in response to what Paul Barker wrote?
Yeah, Deacon Blues writes, I also feel I was taught incorrect information on my mission. I have no way to tell those I taught I was wrong, unless by some slight chance any of them are reading this. Let me just say, I am convinced LDS prophets make mistakes, big ones.
But see, I wouldn't label what the prophets are saying as mistakes. See, a mistake implies some sense of innocence here. You know, I was taken by surprise or something like that. And I don't look at the Mormon leaders as falling into that category. This is not a mistake, folks. The leadership of the Mormon Church, I have to hold accountable. They know the true story.
And I think you're on to what Ali Robbins wrote. This is what this person wrote. As a former missionary who left the church not long after returning home, these kinds of quote-unquote mistakes helped me see things clearly. Namely, that the people running the church were just that, people who acted on their own, probably with the best of intentions, but were not receiving divine guidance. Eventually, that led me to doubt God's existence entirely. I left the church and never looked back. See, that, Bill, that's the problem, is people are going to get burned by this church, and this person has become an atheist. We see that happen far too often.
It's sad, and it goes back to that old adage that we've heard far too many times by some Latter-day Saints, well, if the church isn't true, nothing is. And of course, we would look at that as a silly statement, since when you consider that the Mormon Church is really kind of the new kid on the block when it comes to religions, you're going to really tell me that there was no truth before that? You're not even going to give the Christian teachings a fair shake and look into the truth claims that we've been making for centuries? Sadly, far too many Latter-day Saints, when they do see the Mormon Church is not being as truthful as it should be, tend to lose faith in religion altogether, and they throw anything that is connected with Mormonism gets thrown out with it. And that would include their version of a Jesus.
Living in Zion writes, sign me up for feeling grateful I was a girl during the 1980s and was pressured to get married instead of going on a mission. I only deceived my children, not any converts to the church. Sigh.
Yikes. I mean, to know that you deceived your children, how do you make that right?
Then a number of people, I'm going to say at least a half dozen, wrote, like Ryan, he said, I'm sorry, Moscow. Utah Hiker 801 said, I'm sorry, Greece. Hope for Things wrote, I'm sorry, Florida. Porter wrote, I'm sorry, Fiji. So they took what he had written about, I'm sorry, Argentina, and were apologizing to the people where they serve their missions.
Do you think we're going to hear anything in General Conference where the leaders get up behind the pulpit and express their apologies for the membership believing something that wasn't true in church history when they're really responsible for them believing this in the first place? I can't imagine there's going to be this blanket apology made by any leader in the church. They're never going to admit that they purposely allowed this type of misinformation to be a part of the missionary lessons or to be part of the lessons that are in the manuals that are taught in church classes to this very day.
Lori Berkman writes, I feel very comparably about most everything I taught on my mission. This post resonates with me in a lot of ways. Had I known the reality, I would have taught the reality. It wasn't our fault that we were only given the most sellable version of the story to share.
Well, see, that goes back to what I said early when she says it's not my fault. I can understand that. But you know what? When they were ever approached, and maybe some of them were, by a Christian who knew the other side of the story, I wonder what they did with that information at the time. Now, I have no way of knowing whether or not any of these people that have written to this blog site were ever told by someone else, hey, did you know that Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon using a seer stone and a hat? They may have been, and they may have blown it off, just like a lot of Latter-day Saints blow off a lot of information about church history that they find uncomfortable. But see, if you hear these kind of things, and I know I do this with my own faith, when someone approaches me with something about my faith, I tend to want to look into it. I want to check it out. I want to see if what they're saying actually has some validity.
I'm not going to be able to read all of Tim Bones, but he writes in part, this post once again shows, he's complaining about Paul Barker's post, as if any more evidence were needed that the church can do nothing, nothing right. No matter what it does or says, someone is there to kick it in the shins. So his complaint is the church is always being criticized, and he feels unfairly, and they're trying to come out, and they're trying to be honest by showing you that there was a seer stone, and all you can do is criticize.
Well, I can see a faithful Latter-day Saint drawing that kind of conclusion, but who actually dug this hole? And the hole was dug by the leadership in the first place. They need to make it right.
And Paul Barker partly responds by saying, the point of my essay is this. The church pushed a story that was not the right story. I told the wrong story to thousands of people in Argentina. I needed to apologize. And then he says, this is my story, my experience. For you, maybe it was a non-issue, but don't call my experience a non-issue.
And that's the point. I think this is going to be a huge issue for many Latter-day Saints. I also think it's going to be a terrible selling point for the missionaries now if they feel compelled to tell the whole truth about how the Book of Mormon came forth. Because, let's be honest, in the missionary lessons, the Book of Mormon is the big issue. That is Joseph Smith's badge of credibility that he was a true prophet of God, that he brought forth this ancient scripture that they feel justifies his calling as a prophet.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry. Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore.